Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is an official Chat and Shit disclaimer.
Yeah.
You might be listening to this thinking, oh my days, some of this sounds really dated because we're not in lockdown as much anymore.
It is.
Well, that's fine.
It's vintage.
Exactly. Some of it was recorded a little while back. Get over it.
So just play it. And if you don't like or you think, oh, that's wrong, skip it 15 seconds.
Just skip it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right, press play now.
You are now in tune to the Chat and Shit podcast. Guess what? Guess what? This is a podcast. And it's called Chatting Shit, boy. Welcome.
Easy. So what the hell are we doing here again?
We're bloody podcasting, mate.
Right, so we're back, the Chat and Shit podcast, with me, myself, Siepa, or Siepa, and you.
Hugo Francis William Chegwin.
Brilliant.
Come on.
So apart from us, two cool, young, sort of millennials.
Really young, in our prime. Yeah.
If you ask us how old we are, we're your age, right?
Yeah, we're your age, yeah.
What we thought would be better than just that, even though that's already good, is chucking another guest in.
Come on. Isn't it? That's what I'm thinking.
I want to ask you a question, Hugo.
Go for it.
Is this guest insanely talented?
Yes.
Young, cool, wham gym expert.
Whammy.
Yeah? But more importantly, critically acclaimed genre-defying rapper/verbal gymnast.
All of that.
Yeah. Is this guy straight out of Camden via Brighton now residing in London?
I think you're right.
I think Penny's dropped, isn't it?
Yes.
I'd like to welcome the man, the myth, the legend, Ocean Wisdom.
Come on.
Hey. What's going on? Yeah, thanks for joining us today, brother.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Are we in now? Are we locked in?
Yeah. All right, yeah, we're good. We're rolling.
Wait, what? Is that in your yard then?
Yeah, man, we in the studio right now.
Oh, yeah.
I've got the mic. I've got the two-pack. I've got the two-pack stained glass thing. Yeah, it's all good.
Nice. I need two-pack stained glass.
Bro, I can't believe they're not a thing. Like, my mum's friend started making them, and yeah, I might start making them with her. Not literally, but I might start selling them.
Yeah, you're quitting the rap shit, making stained glass windows.
Yeah, I'm doing stained glass.
If you see them in real life, they're sick, trust me. Like, they're quite sick.
Yeah,
it's quite cheap as well. They're like 60 quid.
Yeah, sold. I'm down.
I'll take a couple. I'll take a few.
You got something in the back there. It will go nicely on your wall.
Yeah.
Who you got up there? Snoop, Diz.
Yeah. I got all the classic albums I was raised on. So I've got Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style, Mobb Deep, Infamous, Illmatic, Only Built for Cuban Links, Dizzy, The Streets, MF Doom, Nirvana.
I like your taste in music, but I see on your gram, I see what you're listening to. I fuck with it. I've got very similar albums to you, actually. That Nirvana one.
Yeah.
Mad.
Hard.
Mad.
So basically, obviously, it's a weird one. We're all doing it from our yards and that. Last time we met...
hang on a sec. Last time I saw both of you in the same room was at that in Concord, wasn't it? And we was,
I remember that.
And we did Kill Him on the Rhythm When I'm on the Mike Cinnamon on the phone. And Nasty was there, I think.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And it's when you were living in Brighton, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was a good night, man. That was a good night. I've got the video on my phone. What did you say?
Yeah.
Hold tight, the new official Corrupt FM member. And then I was gassed and I showed it to everyone. I was like, you, man, I'm repping it now.
That's it, man. But that still counts. You're still a Corrupt member, man. Nice. That's what you're doing here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ask. If you don't ask, boy, you don't get. Ask.
Proper appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Pleasure, man.
What's it been like?
I got free time, bro. Listen, anyone that says that they're doing stuff, it just means they're a dick, innit? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why we thought it was a good time to start asking people, innit? Yeah, because people are free.
Yeah, no excuses.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. Are you living on your own then?
Yeah. I got a place in central London, so I'm just here, man.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
What's central London like? Dead.
Yeah, today it wasn't. I look out the window and there's cars everywhere, so it's kind of annoying because you're isolating. And then, because obviously there's essential workers and stuff like that. But I think when people was like, when it first got implemented, you got a good scale of like, okay, this is what it looks like when just essential workers are. Because I live on the main road in central London, innit? So you're going to always see cars. But on the first day, it was just like a ghost town, except for like ambulances and food trucks and certain things like that, And then now I'm looking out the window and it's just traffic. So I'm thinking, I don't know, man. And it's annoying when you're locking down, but I don't know who's in there.
I know, man. I feel like we're at a stage that people are like, they're getting bored. So they're thinking, and they think because they haven't been out, they're not remembering how, how real this is. And they're just like, actually, I'm fine. Maybe I can go out now kind of thing. But yeah. I don't know, man. It's a mad time.
And do you know what else is crazy? It's just the numbers, because I went to Russia in February, so I've been staying in since, then, really. And you get to a point where it's, seven, 8 weeks in here where you're like, oh, surely I can just go park or something. But then you're like, nah, you're not supposed to do it. Yeah. But then because there's so many of us with the same mindset, it's like the majority of us might have been good for 7 weeks and then a person might have one slip up. But if everyone does that, it's still madness. So you just got to hold it down, bro.
Exactly.
What were you doing in Russia? That's mad.
I had a show in a mountain.
Oh, nice.
On the side of a mountain. It was on a ski resort. Yeah, no, Russia's a mad place, bro. I was a bit, especially because Corona was just starting, in the news at least. I was a bit nervous because I didn't want to catch it. Yeah. And also, I was a bit nervous about being mixed race, going Russia, that kind of thing. But actually, it was very much they looked after me. It was nice. So, you know, sometimes you have a bit of I don't know, I was a bit...
Preconception.
Yeah, you had your preconception. I was a bit cautious. And I didn't really see enough to know, but it was... I was in and out, man.
But yeah, you look like you're doing all right, man. You're in the studio at home.
Yeah, man. I've been focusing on a few things. I've been focusing on training still, writing a lot. Yeah. And my new thing, what I'm trying to get good at is flexibility. I'm trying to get because when you're doing all this, you're doing certain exercises, you get all stiff and it's just, and I don't want that. So I thought, fuck it, I'll try something new. So
what, yoga?
Like a yoga.
Not yoga. I'm not doing yoga. I'm just doing yo, relax.
Ocean wisdom bursting out of his yoga pants.
Relax. I like to stretch to relax and yoga's hard, bro. I sweat.
I know.
When I do yoga, I sweat.
You know what? I've never tried yoga before, but it's on my list to do as part of lockdown. I want to try it, basically. I've been doing this Wim Hof breathing thing every morning, man. It's like...
He's a G,
man. I've been doing this. It's like super deep breathing. It works in nice little meditation vibes. And it's meant to just be good for your immune system and that.
Yeah.
That's the type of shit I've been doing as well.
It's one of those things, for me, nature of my career, I just finished a massive tour, 26 shows in... 28 shows in 36 days or something. It was intense. And I got back in December. So I said to my agent and everything, I was like, I'm taking a few months off. I need to write music and I need to calm down a bit. So I was going to take January, February, March. I was just going to write music, you know what I mean? So if anything, with regards to work, I'd kind of already prepared to have this time off from touring. So
it's perfect timing kind of thing.
In a way, I'd financially kind of just finished my big tour in December.
Yeah.
In that sense, I was just like, cool, I'm just going to use this time to chill. And obviously, when you take time off to write, one thing in the back of your head is that the world kind of is you don't want to get left behind. Right?
Moving.
Yeah.
I'm using this chance while the world's on pause to just be like, cool. The world's on pause. I'm going to get ahead of the curve, like get ahead of myself, you know?
Yeah.
Are you disciplined in like, I'm doing it every day as well?
Yeah.
Or are you?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, with the writing, I just do it when I want to do it. But if, like, what I try and do is, as soon as I even slightly, I'm not in the mood, I just stop. Because as soon as it becomes a chore, I'm just going to not do it.
Yeah. Boom. Job vibes.
You don't want to force it, innit?
Exactly. And with creativity, it's like all the best stuff always comes just like, it's just so natural, isn't it? And if you're forced...
Without thinking.
Yeah.
We're the lucky ones, man, because we're the same. We had like weeks of like writer's rooms or months of writer's room. And then just as it started happening, like the end of Feb kind of thing, it was when we had to go home and just get our heads down and start writing for the next sort of 3 months. So like, like people like us and you, like we're very lucky, you know what I mean? Like a lot of other people have to deal with a lot of stress from it and that. So obviously we've got
a lot of artists are just dependent on their live shows.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Do you know how many years I've been saying I would love a Rolex here, but I can't justify buying all this super, super expensive stuff until I'm so, so far gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me, it was like the first thing was like get a house, get a studio, get comfortable. And then now I'm quite pleased because there was a time last year where instead of setting myself up to be all right for this year, even though I didn't know this lockdown was coming, like there was a time where, you know, it was like, oh, or do I just do the ignorant thing? And I'm just glad I didn't now. And I saw, who was it? Charlemagne. He was like, man, we gonna see who's been saving, who's been spending. And then you get, he's never gonna see some of our favorite rappers on OnlyFans. That's what he said.
Yeah. Hey, that's so true, man. You'd be pissed, innit? If you're sitting there with a fucking Rolex and you didn't have a home studio where you can actually do work and get be creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true, man.
And actually, last year I was a bit like, it's a lot of money, home studio. And it's just like, even the soundproofing to do the whole room, it's like, once you do it, it's like, okay, I've got to go all the way in with it. So I was a bit like, and I just done the tour, which is hella expensive before you get it back and the album.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is mad. But now I'm glad, definitely, because I can just keep working. And
investing in your talent is the best thing to do. Although it does feel long sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you want, you know what I mean? You want something materialistic, but then like investing in your talent's a no-brainer because you're going to get something out of it. Plus, you feel good because you're going to get to, you know, use your talent. It's like therapy, isn't it? Especially now.
I think it's a real hard mental block, especially the younger you are. Like, I think it's a hard mental block to spend money, to make money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, guys, it's Ron here. Coming back at you like Cleopatra. Trying out a new catchphrase. But, I hope y'all guys enjoy the podcast. And remember, all the links will be down at the bottom. All the recos down at the bottom. And I hope y'all enjoy them.
Well, you've been riding this pretty easy bit of bird, I suppose. what you been like watching or reading or listening to? You got any recommendations?
Ozark is mad.
Oh, yeah.
I like Ozark.
I watched the first series, bruv. I tried to get into the second series and I felt like it was a lot slower, but everyone's told me it's sick.
Oh, it kicks off, man. This is one of those things, like, for me, I like really weird things about it. Like, the colour grade is mad.
I love that.
Yeah. I've seen it before, but not in that way. And like, they never really change from it. So you just get lost in the world just because of the color grade. It's a weird. Usually, I don't notice things like color. I mean, I observe it, but it doesn't stand out like that. For me, Ozark color grade is like one of the coldest color grades I've seen recently. But so I enjoyed that one. I tried to get into Altered Carbon, but I wasn't really getting into it. It was a bit slow for me.
Yeah, I watched the episode of that. I found it a bit too sci-fi-y.
Yeah, sometimes if a premise is just too mad, I'm just a bit like, oh.
Yeah.
If it's sci-fi for me, I like sort of stuff where you're like, weirdly enough, in isolation. So like if sci-fi films where they get stuck on a spacecraft, miles
like Alien,
or like,
sort of Alien 1,
but I like where they analyze like the mental toll of like deep space exploration. Like, there's a few films that touch on that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's like a psychological kind of like fucks with your head,
stuff like that. I like stupid films if they've got a cool sort of thing like that,
yeah.
And then all the classics, bro, trust me. Like,
yeah,
if you're talking weird classics, I like kids, Requiem for a Dream, that kind of
thing. Yeah, sick.
Oh, yeah.
First time I watched Requiem for a Dream, I whitey.
It's so intense.
Fuck me up. 12, yeah.
15, man. You don't want to watch that when you're that age.
Yeah, I was young and really high. And I just couldn't hack it. The dildo scene fucked me up.
Yeah. Hilarious. That film's, yeah, very well acted, man. Also, do you know that for the film Kids, the geezer just found, I can't remember her name, Rose, I can't remember her name.
Oh, Latino girl.
Yeah, they found her in a park.
Yeah.
He found her in a park. He just went up to her in a park and was like, you look like my main role for my film. And that's it.
Wow.
You know what, I love shit like that. I think there was other characters that were street casted in that as well. And, you know, with, did you ever watch Mid-90s? Jonah Hill's, the one he directed, basically about the skaters and that. It was like last year or the year before.
I thought with Jonah Hill heavy, man. I think
sick. Watch it, man. But all the little skaters, it's kind of like Kids, and all the little skaters he's got in it are literally just kids from the skate park.
It's like Kids in California. Yeah, basically similar vibe.
All right, sweet. So, do you listen to music when you're at home?
Yeah, I've been listening to Heady One. I listen to Heady One's.
Yeah, sick.
What with Fred again?
Gang.
Yeah. I like that you can tell he's been in the studio with some trendy dons that think a bit different and take a different direction in the music. I just love it.
I like
it's creative.
I like the Jamie XX tune.
Oh, do you know what the magic thing is? I actually fuck with every single song on that tape. I actually really liked it. I really liked it, man.
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
I was thinking, fair play, man's doing something different. So I fuck with that definitely.
Do you know what? It's our boy Fred that's Fred again is our boy, isn't
he's it? Cold.
So
I was just saying he's cold. Right, he's your boy, yeah?
Yeah, man.
I'm going to hit you off in the
world. He did like Ed Sheeran, Take Me Back to London.
He did
loads of Stormzy tracks.
Loads of Stormzy stuff, like most of Ed Sheeran's newest shit. And then he does stuff like with Mist and Fredo and Heady. Yeah, he's a proper like eclectic guy, man.
He's worked on Coldplay tunes.
I really like what he brought out in Heady, man. Honestly.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's about chemistry as well, isn't it? They actually make things together rather than, do you know what I mean? Just someone popping in, quickly laying a bar and fucking off.
You can tell. And something that I like when I'm making songs is like if I bring someone in that is just really talented with production and they can just like take my vocals and mess with them after I've laid them down. And even just when it's like staggering the first syllable of the first vocal that's about to come in the verse.
Yeah.
There's levels to that and the way it fades in and out. And you can just hear that there's just been some real expertise on it and it's kind of taken it a different direction. And that's what music's about, man. Like I like seeing stuff like that because that's kind of the direction not sonically, but that's the direction I like to think that I'm heading with regard to just you never know what's coming.
Mm.
Like my first project was all hip hop. My second project was a bit of kind of everything. My third project was kind of just like bangers. And then this fourth project's going to be hella deep. And I don't want people to ever know what's coming. So artists that kind of remind me of that, like Heady, I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's
the best artists are like that.
Yeah, definitely. So Ocean, so like first thing we want to know really is like how did it all start for you? And I don't mean like the first time you properly put music out. I mean like from young, like did you always have a dream to be a rapper? Was it like, do you know what I mean? Like were there people around you inspiring you? Like how did it start?
So my mum used to always listen to Eminem all the time. And like my mum is a foster carer and like a childminder. So when she starts playing remember that Eminem song, Kim?
Yeah.
Remember that screaming song? Dark. She used to love that song when I was a kid, man. When I was like seven. So I used to be listening.
Yeah.
And the song Kill You and all these songs, I used to listen to them, And if she was...
So wait, she must have been quite a young mum then?
Yeah. She was 20 when she had me. And so she would be in the car, and when she was in a good mood, she would let me listen to, she would play Eminem. And when she was in a bad mood, she wouldn't play any swearing because she's, nah, it's inappropriate. But if she's in a good mood, boom, Eminem. And then I remember one time, this is so random, actually. I've never even told anyone, it's so random. But I don't even know what the song's called. But you know that Gorilla song from back in the day where the front cover is like the dune buggy at an angle and it's green?
And
the rap in the song goes, finally, someone let me out of my cage. Well, time for me is nothing because I'm counting up age. Well, I couldn't be dead. Oh, you shouldn't be scared. I'm fully prepared. You know that song? I can't remember the
song. Yeah.
Anyway, we were listening to it in the car and I just learned all the lyrics. whilst she played it like three times. It was just the album. Back in the day when you said, just listen to an album on loop in a drive.
Yeah.
We got to the destination and I rapped it to her. And she was impressed. And so she was like, all right, cool. You like this rap thing. I'm going to write all the lyrics to this song down in a book. So she wrote all the lyrics in the book to that song because she saw that I was a bit interested in learning. And then from there, I learned it. I kept rapping it. And then really and truly, that was when I thought, oh, I could just make my own version of this. And then I used to listen to Eminem and think, I could make my own version of this. Same, similar tempo. I can say funny stuff, do wordplay.
Not to butt in, but did you, did it take quite a while for you to just be emulating lyrics and then you started coming out of your own lyrics? Or was it pretty quick that you started coming out of your own stuff?
I felt like it was just like, as soon as I had written out and learned someone else's rap, I can do my own version of this.
Okay, yeah.
That's true. I was always realistic about it. I was like, cool, these first 10 are going to be rubbish. Second, and then as I progress, and I'd kind of always just be honest with myself about it. And I had more, I would always like ask all the men that I knew that were more blunt than not. I wouldn't be asking some sort of person that I know is going to say yes if I say it's sick. I'd always be asking people that I know like might not like me or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Get the truth.
And people that I knew didn't fuck with me were going, yo, you're sick, you know? Like, I don't like you, but you're sick. And I was like, all right, cool.
And you're like, okay, that must be true then.
Yeah, exactly.
It's undeniable.
And my boys were like, it's cold, but I was like, oh, I don't know if I should believe it.
Yeah, I know.
But I'll admit it, I started rapping in American accent.
Did you?
Yeah, 50.
Why? Because you were completely inspired by what you just heard. So you're like, this is how you rap.
It's the only way.
Okay, so the Gorillaz thing was years before, yeah? And then, so I had an interest, but then I was obsessed with 50 Cent when he was popping. Like, obsessed.
Yeah.
And all I used to listen to was 50 Cent. So when I actually started making my own raps, I did a remix of When It Rains, It Pours. And it was my favorite tune, so I just did a remix of it. And
that beat is hard.
In it, bro. Thomas, man.
That's a Dre beat, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it is.
The guitars.
Yeah. But, I remember I wrote something to that and I just thought, do you know what, it sounds like I've got a bit of an American twing. Like, it wasn't, like, fully American, but it was like, saying homie and shit, and it was just a bit...
And dope.
dope and stuff. So then I put a grind beat on and I just rapped in my actual voice. And then from then it was done. In fact, from some of my earliest lyrics that I ever wrote got incorporated in my first single, Walking, which is one of my most viewed songs to this day.
Yeah.
Because that song is from...
So did you just mention Walking, where you delivered lyrics faster than Eminem's Rap God?
Yeah.
Just checking.
That was a segue and a half, man.
I can't believe I'm a podcaster. That is sick. So when you, because of your age, like grime must have been something you was raised on, no?
Yeah.
Like I know you're from Camden originally, like you were born in Camden, right? And then when did you move to Brighton?
So my family, I was born in Camden and then my family kind of went like this and some of us went to Battersea.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, me and my mum went to Brighton. So I've always been a bit back and forth, really. I've always been there's part of the elements of Brighton where I've always associated with home and then elements of London that I've always associated with home. So I just kind of embraced it all, really. But now I'm back in London, so and my whole family's here, so... This is where we're at, but I love going back to Brighton.
When you moved to Brighton, was it a culture shock, first of all? How old were you and what kind of music were you listening to then? Like, what was inspiring you? And because you started your career there, right?
Yeah. Like, my mum was very influenced by black culture.
Yeah.
She was one of those white women that knew everything about just various things. You get me? So she was, and because Brighton's a predominantly white town and stuff, she would always be like reminding me of, was also a single mum and stuff. So my dad wasn't there. So he's in London. So I'm cool with him.
Yeah.
We get along proper. But like, it's one of them things where it's like, at the time, it's like, you're raising a kid. You got to teach them about their heritage. When you're a white woman trying to teach a black kid about his heritage, it's kind of difficult. So you kind of have to like, you can't shy away musically. Like, you can't just not. So she was there like, look, this is the music your dad plays. This is the music that I listen to. Tried to school me a bit. So in that sense, it influenced me. What I wanted to do was always very like Busta Rhymes, Eminem type sounds.
Yeah,
like, you can hear it. Yeah.
Skippy, but also like
just a fast kind of flows.
Technical.
Yeah.
But then even down to like how Eminem used to like sing out of tune almost, but it worked, stuff like that. Yeah. I always see myself doing. And then Brighton, yeah, Brighton, it definitely influenced me. Because I think that there was a sound there when I was coming through.
Yeah.
But my sound never really reflected that sound. But you just say, I almost like, it's almost like, because I passed through at the same time as there was, Brighton had this kind of hip hop sound, like this UK hip hop sound going on.
Yeah.
Because I kind of passed through at the same time, but I had my grime influences. It was just a melting pot, which made my sound.
Yeah.
And you can hear that. Yeah. You can literally hear like how you were raised and how you've moved around through your music, I think.
Yeah,
like it makes perfect sense when you explain it.
But yeah, man, I don't know, fucking with Brighton and London and stuff and like that whole melting pot, like I'm quite grateful because I don't want to sound like a next person and I feel like it's I sound like me now on tracks, but it's quite hard to find yourself at first. It's quite hard to like sound like you. Who? Like, what is you as a musician? How do you sound? Like, what is your, can you carry that thing that makes you you? It's not just your voice, it's your delivery and just everything. Can you carry that over different types of beats?
Yeah, you're definitely lucky for going through all these different experiences because you can, like, not only can you, like, communicate in real life with different walks of life, but, like, also on a beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can communicate with a Chester P, and you can hold your own with a, you know what I mean, with, like a Dizzy Rascal. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's really important, man. And I think other people should take a leaf out of that book as well. Because actually, me and Hugo used to make jokes about that.
Mm.
About, like, we used to be like, you know them LimeWire remixes?
I know exactly what you're saying without saying it.
Yeah, exactly. You have, like, gigs on a track with Jess. Like, it would never happen.
Yeah.
In your album, like, bro, that's mad.
I feel like that's a Brighton influence, the kind of UK underground hip hop stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like with the Jess. Okay, so like when I was at college, when I'm like 16, Jess and Chester P and like Farmer G and that, then man, we all just like, these men are cold. So I was playing these man's songs every day. But at the same time I was playing P Money and Getz every day. But the reason I was listening to P Money and Getz wasn't because I was in Brighton, it was because of the people I knew outside and a couple of people were from outside that now lived in Brighton. That group, we would, like, there was a certain group where we like Getz, for example, but then there's another group where if I bumped into them, we're talking about Chester P and I remember Chester P and Wordsmith had a clash, or they had a battle, or they were beefing. And I had this one friendship group was proper invested in that beef. And then there's a whole separate friendship group that are into grime more. And so when I'm making my tunes, I want both these friendship groups to fuck with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Makes sense, man.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. Right about now, you are locked into the legendary Chat and Shit podcast, lad.
How did you feel when you first, when you first released your first thing, or you did your first live gig, the first time, like, the public heard your shit? Like, when was that and how did you feel?
First time the public ever heard my shit ever probably was when I wrote Walking when I was 16. I recorded it when I was 17, 18. And I released it when I was 21. Yeah. So between 18 and 21, I'd used to send that song as an MP3 to all my people and stuff. And I remember one time there was a block party and it got played and it had never come out yet. And there was just bare man then just. And I remember because I was like 18, and there must have been about 30 or 40, like 30 big just greasy man just outside this estate, just listening to this tune, just going,
sick.
I was there like, yeah, what you man a fucker with it, yeah? Okay. All right, cool. So that was the first time I knew adults were fucking with it. And it gave me a bit of confidence. Yeah. But like, yeah, you know, you have these, you just spit out parties, and when you're younger, you spit out parties and
yeah, well, I was gonna say, before that, did you have stuff like that, like MCs, like parties or pirate radio or battles or anything like that before you made like your first proper tune?
Yeah, yeah. So I used to I don't know if I'm gonna give him this. No, I'm not gonna give him this, but someone beat me at a freestyle rap battle. Like, we had this when I was like 15, there was a freestyle rap battle. And you have to appreciate this was 10 years ago, yeah? I got these plimps. So I remember what he said. He was like, why are you trying to hate on them? I just dissed this crew, and he said, why are you trying to hate on them? You look like a reject model from H&M. He'll know. Saying that, I've given you that. You know who it is, yeah. That's the only battle I ever lost. And he was sick at freestyle. And he spun. So yeah, we used to do stuff like that. And then these times Don't Flop was popping, and I always knew like it's probably not good for my pride to get involved. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm gonna do this rap thing. I can't be dealing with man like just disrespecting me on a weekly basis. Like I'm gonna do songs in it.
Yeah.
No, the thing is, yeah, like rap battle rap's battle rap, but them man, certain times, not even them man, just in general, it gets taken too far, and I just always worried someone would take it too far. And I don't want to be that guy getting angry on camera. Yeah.
And also, you get painted with a brush of kind of just being a freestyle battle MC.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's true.
You can't shake it off.
So I thought, you know what? It's not for me. I'm not built for that. Let me just do this rap thing and be true to myself. And luckily, there was something there with the rap. And I always felt it. I remember, do you remember Rizzle Kicks? Hang tight, Jordan.
Yeah.
Do you remember Rizzle
Kicks? Yeah. I know Jordan. He's cool, man.
Yeah, man. Blessed guy, man. When Jordan, so I used to use his ID back in the day. When he was like, when I was like 15 or whatever, he was 18 or something, and I used to use his ID. And I remember,
oh, what to go out with and that?
Yeah. We were the only mixed race people in the whole of Brighton, man, I'm telling you. And and so I used to use that, yeah. And I remember like when he popped off, he had this song Down with the Trumpets, and he just went world famous all of a sudden. And we was all just like, "Wow, what, man's famous now?"
Yeah.
He got so famous to the point I felt even awkward hollering, man, because I was like, "I hope he doesn't think I'm trying to like coach."
Yeah.
You know them ones. That was how quick he popped. And I remember I was in the kitchen with my mum, and she was like, "You like doing your rap social? When are you gonna be a fucking pop star, man?" And I was just like, "Mum, like, give me some time." But I remember that was the moment where I was like, "Okay, cool. Like, I'm gonna take this thing seriously and smash it." And from there, I think what was I? Yeah, I'd have been 16, and I just went for it from there, really. So I think Jordan knows that because I told him. I was like, bruv, my mum looking at your video, seeing you popping, and then looking at me being like, is this what you want to do? Yeah, because he's doing it, and he's smashing it. That was the time where I was like, no, I'm not having this. I'm flying in. So I just locked on. I just focused from there.
Where would you record, like, all your early stuff? Did you have a spot? Did you do it at home?
I got hanged out with my boy Black Ink. Even though he showed motherfuckers my music, which is why I stopped working with him, because you know them boys in the bedrooms that, I got you, but I won't show no one. Hey, listen to this new Izzy. He used to do that every song. He would do that. I love him, he's my brethren, but he used to do that every song. So I couldn't record with him.
The leak.
The leak. You always knew it was Black Ink as well.
It's a good thing. It means that he was excited to play it. Like, fuck
yeah,
it.
He was showing up at you, man. He loved you.
So from there, that was the first place. And then I used to record with Dirty Dyke a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Dirty Dyke.
Yeah, man. I think I recorded the vocals for Walking in his yard. Yeah, Dirty Dyke was like first actual stuff you hear on records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A few others right here. And he was always moving around. So I was always just going, he always would just move around, set up in a studio where his yard was. So I record a lot of stuff there. And then really the first time where I stepped it up was Big Talk. I recorded in Maloko. Mm-hmm. And that's hella expensive, but it's professional.
That's a sick studio.
Yeah, so that was and that's where I met Dizzy. So after I met him there, I was like, cool, this is where you go then. This is the certified spot. So I cross your arm and a leg, but get a good sound.
Let's bring this back. So like obviously, like we were talking about earlier, like you got a lot of sick collaborations and it's a mad eclectic mix. But like someone like Dizzy doesn't really collab with too many people and he keeps himself a little bit further away from the scene. So like, how'd you get in touch with someone like that? Like, how did that happen?
Bruv, can you imagine? I never, ever, ever, ever expected that to happen because I was trying to get in touch with him.
Oh, right.
I think his manager thought that it was like not something to bring to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because imagine how many people holler, man, to do a feature. It's mad.
Of course. So, yeah.
So obviously, if you're a good manager, you've got to filter. You can't just bring every request. You know what I'm saying? So I think I got lost in that. Couldn't get past the first wall. And then he's in the gym, and his personal trainer goes, check this kid out, plays my music. And then he stops his gym session and follows me on Twitter. I was already following him. So I'm in my car. It says Dizzy Rascal followed you back on Twitter. So I fully, not saying this for the story, I fully nearly crashed, didn't it? Because I'm like, rah! And so I pulled over on the side of the road, clicked on it, messaged him straight away, like, big up for following. I didn't know why he was following me, but I was like, yo, because everyone that knows me is my big inspiration, really. I decided to rap when I saw him in a crowd. I was watching a performance of his and I was like, this is sick, I could do this. So I've always,
because you can relate to him because he's English, right? Like it's
so many reasons more I can relate to him, and just personality as well. Like it was a weird one. Like he molded the type of person I became. So that when I met him, it was weird because we were weirdly similar.
Mm-hmm.
But he messaged me. He said you're sick or whatever. I was just gassed. I was like, bro, I've been trying to get hold of you for time. Like if you ever want to work, I'm there. Just give me a time and a date. He was like, next week, studio. I was there like, what? I text my manager at the time. I text Christian, innit? I was like, just text him, just like I can't remember where it was, but I sat and like, we made it. We made it. You know what I mean? Just like get
turn Khaled.
I'm getting ready to retire now. I'm getting ready to
fuel the lair.
Yeah, literally. Major P alert. It was them times as well.
So I'm the type of person that if I had good news like that, I'd be like, yeah, this is sick. This is amazing. But also now I'm thinking, is this going to be awkward when we meet up? What, when I have to start spitting in front of him? You know what I mean? Like, not that I'd be spitting in front of him, but you know what I mean? Like, do you have any of those thoughts? Do you have any of those sort of like, right, this was like one of my idols. Like, this is going to be like, do you know what I mean?
I mean, it's almost like, if you study a craft for so long and then the person that most influenced you, you study their craft even more, you know that you kind of almost can gauge what they're going to like because of what they've put out themselves, right? So a lot of my initial inspiration points are off the back of flows he's done and stuff like that. So as much as they might sound different and my voice might sound different, like I kind of had a quiet confidence that, you know, he's inviting me to the studio. I've always had confidence in my own abilities. And on top of that, I just thought, based on what he's taught me, I assume as long as I don't fuck it up, he'll like it based on what I've learned from him. So it was kind of like a cyclical kind of thing where it just made sense.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Don't you ever have those thoughts of, I might fuck it up. I might even technically just slip up because of the pressure or no?
Yeah, so like when I started recording my verse, I was so nervous, bruv. Because bearing in mind, like I walked in the studio, it's like dark. Can't see nothing. And Dizzy's there with his hood on and he's like, hey, like, I didn't know what the vibe was gonna be. And then I walk in and he's like, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, okay, cool. Chill vibe, sick. And then I sit down and man just starts, we just chat for ages. He's telling me all these and we just start telling stories really. Just like a podcast without the cameras type thing. And then eventually then we start talking about the song. So it was nice because I was quite comfortable. But even still, by the time I got to start rapping, I was just nervous as hell, really, because usually I don't get nervous anything to do with rap on stage, nothing like that. I'm just like, these people are here to see me. They want to see me. I'm just going to go and smash it. Yeah. I can't get nervous. But with Dizzy, I was like, yo, this is literally like, I never thought I'd be in a room with this guy, let alone rapping on a tune we're going to do. So then I'm trying to rap and I'm trying to sound just like perfect. And when you try and sound perfect, you don't sound natural. And you thought, he clocked it straight away. First take I did, I did the take and I went, let me get that again. And I like to consider myself one take merchant, you get me? So,
Jay-Z vibe.
Already I was pissed off.
Grand.
Yeah, already I was pissed off because I was like, let me get that again. And then he just got up and left. And I was just like, as soon as he got up and left, I was like, he's a real one for that. Because he obviously knows I'm a fan, first and foremost.
Yeah.
And obviously he clocked it and just... Well, I think even the best MCs, the top MCs, if there's someone they don't know in the room watching them record, it's a distraction.
Yeah, that's why you need that 45-minute chat before, like when I used to do music, sometimes it would be clinical. Like people would just come in, like back, they just want to hear backing track, and it would always come out shit. But when you have a good time, like get to know them, feels easier.
There is the flip side of that though, of the training ground of back in the day, like going to someone else's studio that's just packed full of man them blazing or pirate radio. There is no, how you been? Like, you go straight in and everyone's just sitting there, hoods up, staring at you, blazing, innit? And it's the worst, but it's the sickest training ground. But it is that, although when you're younger, you obviously have more of a front and you pretend you're not shook and that. But of course you are. Like, it's a mad social situation, isn't it? Like,
but it's kind of like a battleground, I'm guessing, because it's everyone thinks they're sick and it's your chance to like prove.
And you've
like,
got to, yeah.
But I'm literally better than all of you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I guess it's different when it's someone you've looked up to, isn't it? Like your idol.
Yeah.
For me, if I want to make sure I don't make a mistake, I'll probably be more lucky, better off doing a faster flow than a slower flow, isn't it? The only thing that I sometimes do when rapping is think about what I'm going to have for dinner or something on stage or whatever. And if the beat is too slow, in those pauses, or in the flow is too slow, in those pauses, I start letting my mind wander. Whereas when I'm in the pocket, I know I very rarely fuck it up. Once I've got it, I've got it.
I get that.
So I will.
I don't think, shit, did I leave the front door unlocked?
Nah, not. It's like muscle memory. It's just muscle memory. So then I'm thinking, I'm gonna go on the mic. I'm gonna deliver my best verse. But within that verse, I'm gonna flex my thing that I can do, which is more of a rare thing, right? Because not every verse, I'm not trying to do some mad intricate flow. I'm trying to just fit the beat. But on this particular occasion with Revan, I was like, I'm going in. So if I decide I'm going in, I know it's going to be cold. And because I've built it to that point. And so I know that if I can go in, do some intricate flows, have some good bars, and then we get a catchy hook, we can't go wrong. So I just kept telling myself that and just fucking believed that. And that's why the first lyric was manifested this one, because I manifested that situation and I had to put that in the song in order for the song to do what it needed to do, I felt.
Now you smashed it, bruv.
Yeah.
Big tune. So, like, how does it feel, like, from where you've come? Like, I mean, you're still really young, innit? So you've come...
like us.
We're really young. We're all really young.
We're young.
Same age, And, I mean, how do you deal with now people recognising you? Is it all love? Like, do you enjoy it?
Is it annoying?
I definitely think it's much more of a, I guess, teenage ambition to be super popular and popping and have people cheer.
Yeah.
Like, as you get older, it's a bit like, as an adult, I feel like, let's say if you wanted that as a kid, I think as you get older, you start just wanting like a nice kitchen and a nice bar. And a nice holiday and some financial freedom and just like your family.
Yeah.
And that you start caring about more important things rather than like attention.
The positive from that is a reflection for the hard work you put in and how you...
Definitely.
That and the kitchen is...
That like, and the kitchen.
I think when I was younger, the driving factor was like, I had something to prove. And now I feel like I've proven myself. And now the driving factor is the pursuit of like creating things, good things.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, that's good. That's
but also it's the security, and you know what I mean? You're an adult now, so it's like I want to be secure and I want to be able to like, if I want to open a pop-up truck and serve jerk chicken because I want to see if people like it, I want to be able to do that in my life and not have to be restricted. I don't want to do like crazy. I think no one needs £1 billion, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like you know, enough to look after your family and to be able to enjoy life's experiences is important. So that's my motivating kind of factor now. Not so much the attention, but it is nice when people appreciate your stuff. And it's also nice being able to just make people happy just by like...
Exactly.
Like how many times have you, man, just bopped into a room and just bare people just like smiling, happy, gassed, whatever it may be. And it's like, you're just doing that.
Yeah,
like, existing. It's like, that's a nice feeling.
Too many bloody times. It's an absolute nightmare, to be honest.
Sometimes I feel I have pressure to be funny though, and it just comes out shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, I can't believe he's actually not talented. That's ridiculous.
Also, I think it's a bit unfair to just be talented all the time. Like, for me, it's like, You can't expect you to just be in full form all the time. Like when people say to me, like, rap for me, I'm like, I put my mind to it. I can, you know, I'll be in the pocket for about an hour when I'm recording. I'll be in the pocket and I might do 2-3 songs in that hour, but then I'm like, oh man, I need to chill out. Otherwise I'm gonna start sounding shit. So I don't know, man.
Do you get guys rapping to you at parties?
Oh, that's the worst.
I hate that, but you must get it more than we do.
Spitting in your ear.
Yeah, literally, bruv. They're spitting. Like, it's so mad because I remember, I'll tell you, oh man, this was so awkward, bro. I had to stick it on some kid in Germany. I was doing my tour last year, end of the year, yeah? And this kid in Germany comes backstage after. He's like, he bought because when I'm in Europe, I'll do meet and greets. Not in UK, but in Europe, I'll do meet and greets. And So I'm doing this meet and greet, yeah? And this kid comes backstage, this white German kid. And he's like, yo, is it cool if I rap for you, homie? And I'm like, I'm like, cool. I'm like, cool. And he's like, okay, so this is a rap I wrote about some fucking bitch, okay? And I'm there like, all right. And then he starts rapping and I'm listening and you know them people that rap like they think they're well sick, but they're not. So I could just even hear that, yeah? And then man just says the N-word. And I'm like, did I just hear the N-word? I'm like, man can't say that. Whoa. I'm in Germany. What? You're white. You can't be saying the N-word in raps to me like that.
You're white and German. That's the worst kind.
Yeah, what are you doing?
You're high-level racist.
Yeah, but just have a bit more of awareness. And, do you know what I mean?
Of course, that's fucking insane.
But I didn't know if maybe he said, like, vinegar in German. Yeah. So he was German, and then he was kind of cutting in between English.
Right. Yeah.
And then he just fucking full-on said it in English. I stopped. I was like, whoa. Listen. It's not that time. Can't be doing that, man.
Not cool, bro.
Not cool, man. So I didn't want to get all super weird about it.
First of all, you're well within your rights to be fuming and weird about it. But second of all, I guess you're thinking, does he know that he's doing wrong? Like does he understand that, like, how bad this is?
Yeah.
Does he need to be taught? You know what I'm saying?
The reason why I kind of felt to educate him as opposed to intimidate him, was because...
Mm.
He was like a fragile looking guy. So I was like, there's no way that he come in here on smoke trying to say that, thinking he could.
Of course.
Like, he's obviously just.
I will literally crush him.
He just thought that was okay, innit? He just genuinely thought that was okay. So I explained to him, I was like, listen, you don't need to be saying that word in your raps. That was worse, than when people put it in my ear. That was worse because I had to school the guy and it made me feel weird. And I was like, nah, what the fuck?
I think you imagine you going, maybe try and change it for vinegar. I don't know if that still makes sense.
What's vinegar in German?
Exactly.
All right. Well, that comes to the end of your journey. So one of the most important things that we ask all of our guests.
That sounded a bit morbid, bro. Can we not?
And your journey. Oh, no. Let's do that again, actually. Right. So, Ocean, what does the future hold for you?
What does the future hold?
What's next, man?
What does the future hold for any of us right now? We haven't really been talking about the lockdown at all.
Let's see
in it, because I was just on the phone to my agent and he was saying Q4 we might be looking at touring. I was like, we're not looking at touring in Q4.
No way, man.
I'm preparing like, I'm hoping that next year we can gather. And I know that some people might be like, what? But I'm hoping 2021 we can gather big group.
Bruv, like, we were meant to release the film this year in August, cinema release. That ain't happening, man. People ain't even going to be looking up for cinemas and stuff like that, let alone raves and gigs.
And as much as that's annoying for you, it's super annoying for you guys. Like, I'm super excited about that. And it reminds me actually of Khabib versus Tony. I don't know if you guys are into UFC, but they were going to make it happen amidst the madness.
Yeah.
And I was almost there like, you know what? I want the full production. I want the full
rollout.
I want I'd rather wait a year and have the full rollout.
Yeah.
So with that film, it's like, I want that to be like, I want the full rollout for that. So I think as much as annoying. And that's how I feel with my third album. I wanted to do a third album, but I'm going to have it there. But in the meantime, I'm just going to release music, just like singles and maybe EPs and mixtapes, and just keep the ball rolling. But when I do my big third album, I want the world to be up and running again. You know what I mean? So I don't blame you for that.
The sandwich. What's your favorite sandwich? You know, on that note, we come to the end of the show. The most important question we ask all our guests, what's your favourite sandwich?
My favourite sandwich? I'll go baguette.
Yep, nice.
Yeah?
Nice.
I'm going a bit of Japanese mayo.
Nice.
I'm going, I'm freestyling. I'm going sliced, I'm sliced grilled chicken with a,
nice.
With a, maybe if I was trying to bougie it up, some fried chicken skin, crunch it up.
Oof. Oof. Wow.
Or some crispy flocks or something like this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And I'm going a bit of like mustard with the pickles in, like the sweet mustard with a bit of the pickles in.
Nice.
On the top, I'm going the key lime on the bottom. What else am I doing? And then I'm getting some chili flakes in there, you know what I'm saying? And then I'm getting...
Are you slipping a bit of avocado in there? Healthy fats?
Yeah, man. You know Patty and Bon wouldn't let me put avocado in my burger, man? They said it's...
They wouldn't let you?
Yeah, I tried to, bruv. They were like, nah, it's not really with the brand, but fair play. I was like, right.
Yeah.
But yeah, avocado's going in there. That's my go-to.
All right, man. Nice one. And then for the last part of the show... A part of the show we like to call the three questions.
Three questions.
You got to ask us three questions each.
Okay. What's your favorite one of Asim's characters on his Instagram?
I only know one. Raj, right?
Nah, he's got Raj, he's got Rupert Khan, he's got your buddy G.
I want sex.
Oh, I know no, which
actually,
one.
Let me rephrase it. I don't mean like on a funny level. I mean like which one pisses you off the most as a person? Like which character he does on his Instagram do you dislike the most?
I'd say Rupert Khan. Rupert Khan is the least, like he's a great character, but I wouldn't want to spend time with
him. He's the biggest dickhead, Rupert, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah, Shasha.
Nah, Rupert Khan is so funny though. So funny.
He's hard.
So funny. All right, cool. I'll accept that answer. Let me think. Okay, what's your go-to drink of choice? Let's say tonight, you got to stay in. You're going to pour yourself a classy drink. What are you making for yourself?
This is what I do every night, yeah. I've got some of that, you know, the lean THC shit.
Hey, bruv, you gotta say THC first because people think you're bitty.
Yeah, not opioids. Not opioids. THC lean liquid. I have that with Ribena and sparkling water.
You have that every night?
Yeah.
Okay, Sifa, final question. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you?
Fucking hell.
In public.
I've got something, no embarrassing thing that's happened to me on stage.
Go on, in public.
Yeah, we was doing a corrupt gig in like, I don't know, you know, like, fucking Cheltenham or you know like Essex, yeah. And then we was on the stage, yeah, and I was obviously as Grindr, like all dressed in my mosh and that, thinking I'm bad, like being well arrogant on the mic and shit. Then like, yeah, big up you mugs, like to people in the crowd and shit. They're like, oh yeah, like laughing along and that, yeah. But there was a gap in between the stage and the decks, yeah, that was just enough to fall down, yeah. And I didn't clock that. And I went, yes, lady Meesh, big it up you mug, yeah, because Meesh was there as well, filming it. With her bridges, I'm all showing off and that. As I say that, I just go like this. I just take one step and just collapse down the side of the stage, bro.
Did people think?
I'm bright red and I want to leave. I just want to go home and go to bed at that point, and I've still got half an hour of the set left, and that's all I can think about, man. It's horrible.
Hey, that is jokes, bruv.
Bruv, thanks so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
The gentleman.
Thank you, bruv.
Yeah, hope it's been enjoyable and that, man.
That was jokes, man. Thanks for having me anyway. I appreciate it.
This is the outro. See you later. And good luck. Stay lucky, boy. Stay lucky, boy.
And that was Ocean Wisdom. What do you think?
Yeah, man. He's safe.
Yeah, I told you. Do you like his physique?
Yeah, man, it's inspiring.
Yeah, it's very.
It's something that you could never ever sort of get to.
Well, I think with my
no.
Anyway, so one thing that we forgot to do, which we realised is of course the most important part of the show, is ask Wisdom if he's our new best mate, and so I sent him a voice note afterwards, and this is his reply.
Bro, we've been best mates. We were best mates before. If anything, it's just a question of, do we let Hugo in the group for your best friends? I think we do, bro. So, you know, let him know from me. I know you guys go back, so let him know. He's in. He made it.
Yes.
Yeah? You like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. You know what? I'm going to win him over as well. More.
Yeah. And you know what? This was the whole point of this podcast. Hugo's like moved away recently. He's just had he's feeling really lonely. So I said, let me get some of my celebrity guests on and make them be friends with him.
Thanks, man.
No worries. That's been chatting shit.
Really nice of you.
What's been chatting shit?
You. And I've been there on the side talking stents. Thank you.
Chatting shit. The podcast. See you later.
See ya.